But we do this, don't we? We will continue to go back to things that we know don't really offer us anything, because we don't really know where else to go. We don't only do this with lost things. I think that as humans, we also do this with our lostness, because we are, all of us without God, we are lost. We turn to things like money or to relationships. We turn to travel and experiences. All these things that we find in our world that seem shiny, that seem full of promise. And even though we go there time and time and time again and don't find what we're looking for, don't find that fulfillment, we get stuck in this loop because we don't know where else to go. And we think to ourselves, okay, well, that, you know, that relationship didn't quite work out, but maybe the next one will. Or, okay, you know, I thought that when I got this high-paying job, that would have been happy, I would have been good, I would have been set, but I don't feel it, so maybe it's the next job. Maybe it's the next bonus, the next, you know, pay increase. Maybe that'll do it. Or, you know, all these experiences that I've experienced, traveling to different places or trying new things, none of them really quite got that little itch scratched on me, but maybe it's because I haven't gone far enough. Maybe it's because I haven't really gone deep enough. We keep looking again and again to the horizon, saying, I'll be happy when I get this, when I accomplish that, then I'll feel fulfilled. Then I'll feel at peace, of joy. I'll get that fullness that I'm looking for. But sadly, we find that they always seem to fall short of being able to carry that weight that we feel within us, that hole within us that we just can't seem to find something to fulfill. And we know that the problem is that we're not looking in the right place, but the issue is we don't know where else to turn. We don't know what else there is that could possibly fulfill us. And then we hear these messages, as I often hear, from the richest, most successful, most beloved people in the world, who talk about experiencing exactly the same feelings of, man, there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be something else. I think it was a Rockefeller who was once asked, how much money is enough? And he said, just a little bit more. That's how we feel, though, isn't it? Always just a little bit more. Isn't there more to life than this? And what we're looking for, whether we know it or not, is a savior. We're looking for a rescue, something to give us an out, give us something new that we haven't looked for yet. We're stuck in darkness, groping around, just like when you've lost your set of keys. You're stuck. You don't have any new ideas. We're just stuck in a loop. And in the midst of all of this darkness, in the midst of all of this lostness, Jesus Christ comes in and he tells us these amazing words, John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And what he is offering us is just plain, it's clear right there. There's no message to unpack here. He's offering us light, which to those who are living in darkness is nothing short of salvation. Anyone who's lived in the darkness knows that light means life. It means everything. It means hope. It means another chance, something different at last. It means security. It means peace. In this world in which all of us seem to be groping around in the darkness, looking for love, for meaning, for hope, for clarity, in comes Christ. He says to us, I am the light. That he displays to us, when you read the Gospels, you see Jesus Christ displaying for us that he is utterly unique, utterly glorious and excellent, that there is no one like Jesus, no one like him at all. And he offers us light. And how is it that he offers us light? When he says, I am the light, what exactly is it that he is offering us? Why can he claim to be the light that we need in order to get out of this darkness? It is because in him we see God. We see who God truly is, who our Creator is. And not only do we get to see who God is, glorious, perfect truth, but we are also reconnected to him through Christ. He enables us to be reconnected to God, to experience his love, to enjoy God and the peace that comes from him too. And because of that, because now we know who God is, and because we have the ability through Christ to be connected to God once again, our life explodes with meaning, with significance. We get to see God as he truly is and be connected to him through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He frees us from this distance, this disconnectedness that we have to our Father, our Creator. He frees us from the guilt and the shame that we feel in life, from the fact that we feel so often unloved. He frees us from this, fills our heart with acceptance, the ultimate acceptance, the acceptance of God, freedom from sin, freedom from darkness. And then once freeing us, he illuminates the life that we have around us. Through his teaching, through his example, we now know what in this world is truly valuable that we should seek, what is truly dangerous that we should avoid, who we truly are, that we might live out of that truth. Shows us what is good so that we might pursue it and enjoy it even more. He gives us this light, and we walk by that light that he has given us. This is what Christmas is about. It is about celebrating that light once again. And so for those of us in the room today who know this light, who know Jesus Christ and the salvation that he offers, that tonight is an opportunity for us to celebrate the light that he has already given us. Psalm 98, verse 1 says, sing a new song unto the Lord. And that is what I want to encourage all of us to do in our heart tonight. Do not simply sing these old hymns as if they are old. Make them deeply and personally your own tonight. Do not rely on yesterday's devotion, yesterday's obedience, and yesterday's worship. It's already gone. Tomorrow's is still being written. Today, we are called to worship our Lord and Savior. Today, we bring to him our heads and our hearts, our thoughts and our emotions come together as we sing songs loudly in worship to him, for he alone is worth it. Consider his salvation. Consider his love. Consider his promises. Think on all of these glorious things and let them burn in your heart and move you to respond with praise tonight, for he is worth it. And for those of us, for those of you who do not know who Christ is yet, I encourage you to call out from the darkness. Call out to him. Pray, perhaps for the first time tonight, pray to Jesus Christ. Call out to him. And commit yourself to knowing who he is. Read the Bible. Read the Gospels. Find out who this Jesus is. I encourage you to seek to understand him because, look, I've been where you've been. I've looked in those places you've looked for meaning, for happiness, for joy, and I found them empty too. And then I found Christ. I call you to call out to him so that you might experience his light, that he might flood your life with meaning, with purpose, and with joy. Let's stand together and pray before we enter into just a few more songs. Please, would you stand with me? Lord, we thank you from the depth of our heart. We thank you so much for the salvation that you have brought, the light that you have brought into our life. We thank you that we have the privilege of knowing you as Lord and Savior. We thank you, Jesus Christ, for making the way clear for us that we might be reconnected to our Father too. We thank you for the greatness of your sacrifice. We thank you for the greatness of your love. What a privilege it is to know and to serve and to worship you. And we pray that this Christmas season, those who are still walking around looking for salvation, looking for a rescue, that they might at long last find that light that you offer them, and they might approach you and find the meaning and the joy that is strong enough to sustain their whole soul. What a glorious Savior you are. We praise you in this place tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.